Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's about to be interesting in Cleveland. Shedeur Sanders was asked today about Dylan Gabriel starting. And instead of answering the question, Big O, how would you describe his actions?
He did like those dudes that are trapped in boxes. He mimed and pantomimed the words. Nothing came out of his mouth. He just mouthed it, but nothing. There was no sounds.
Hmm.
So you can't take his words out of context, I guess.
Correct.
If you don't hear him say anything.
So he's like, I don't know. Okay. Just do what I'm told.
No, not even that. It's just.
His mouth is moving, but
nothing's coming out.
Okay. Yeah. I guess that in the case of Cleveland, and we said this a million times, it defies, I mean, again, I don't. So Morgan, there's a reason why they never won a Super Bowl. You know what I mean? It's a reason that, you know, Jim Brown or Brian Sipe is the highlight and the high light and the high watermark. But yeah, you go back and you wonder, you know, what the hell were they thinking? You could have one or the other. Why would you even bother with Dylan Gabriel? Again, it's been talked about. Now, if you do have how many voodoo dolls in Cleveland, unfortunately, of that Dylan Gabriel, for guys who want to see Shedeur Sanders out there?
Well, look, he either goes out and balls out. They get the Vikings this weekend, right? Is that the right? I think it's Vikings overseas in London. And he balls out, Mike, and gives them a little bit of confidence. Or he struggles for four more games, and guess what? By week 9, it's Shedeur time. Because now you've gone through the pecking
order. You finally got to the other quarterbacks.
Yeah,
right?
Well, you've given everybody a shot. And I'm just saying, by week 9, all right, that gives you 4 weeks. Now, if it happens before that, it just tells you that Gabriel was terrible. But they give him 4 weeks, and they go, all right, where are we at? And then it's Shedeur time, and then we'll see. What do you think, Dave?
Well, I was just going to ask, do you think, because they did say that Flacco is number 2 and Shedeur is still 3. Do they leapfrog him?
Yes, they leapfrog him.
You know, I got to be honest. I said this to Carl yesterday, for guys who missed it. I'm so freaking sick of this conversation. I don't want to wish injury to anyone, but I just want to see him get on the freaking field with some starting players that are, you know, the number ones with Cleveland, you know, on a Sunday, and let's see if he can do it. Let's just see what he can do. You know, I mean, I know that he's been held to a higher standard for whatever reason. And I think a lot of it's done because of his father. And I think, yeah, I think they had some things to do all over again, Carl. They might have handled things more delicately in their interactions with NFL teams. Maybe not stepped on some toes or bruised egos. But it just drives you crazy because it's just like the guys after, like, you know, 10 years after Kaepernick played his last down. He can still play. No, that ship has sailed. But this one, I can't tell you if Shedeur Sanders can play in the NFL. I need to see it.
Yeah. And by the way, it may not happen there. I mean, some team may come and scoop him up, and he gets traded to a better situation, and all of a sudden, it may not happen there. But I'd like to see it. I'm with Mike. I'd like to see it happen, at least given an opportunity.
Just so we can settle the argument. But again, to be fair, you know, everyone gets who are true rookie quarterbacks get 2 years or a year and a half, you know, unless your owner pulls the string like they did with Bryce Young, they bring you back. But, I mean, there's still a window where you're going to make mistakes. But even when he gets a shot, he'd have to be letter perfect.
With the Falcons off this Sunday, we got a triple header for you coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It starts at 9:15 a.m. the Sunday morning game. Vikings taking on Browns, as we mentioned, in London. Then we get Cowboys-Jets, followed by Lions at the Bengals, all brought to you by Window Nation. Visit windownation.com. 3 big NFL games all Sunday right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. While we're talking NFL, let's get to 4th-and-1. Well, speaking of problems, does A.J. Brown want to be in Philly, Mike?
Would you?
Not if I'm getting not thrown to, which is the circumstances. This has become a thing.
Right.
You throw to him the week before, he kills, right? He goes off, has an amazing game. They win on a block kick. the next week you get no balls, like hardly any targets. And now people are like, all right, has he checked out? Here's Nick Sirianni, the coach of the Eagles, talking about A.J. Brown.
Obviously, A.J. is very important to this football team. You know, I know he wants to contribute. I know he wants to contribute and do the things that he's capable of doing. Again, he wants to contribute into these wins. And he's had a couple games where he hasn't been able to for different reasons of why we haven't in these games. But I question nothing about his desire to play great football, his desire of being a good teammate, his desire to be here.
14 catches for 151 on 28 targets and one touchdown. Now, if I'm Jeffrey Lurie, at some point, you know, I might go to Sirianni and his OC and go, you know, we're paying this guy $32 million a year. You know, I mean, it all works out under the cap. But, I mean, what's the point? You know, what do we bring this guy over from the Titans? Now, like, you won a Super Bowl with this guy. You know what he's capable of. But, you know, him, I don't think he, you know, you realize him flaking out, reading a book on the sideline. Well, he's got nothing better to do. He's not involved in the game plan.
Yeah, man, you can tell me he's important, but you don't throw him the ball like he is. And I get it. The Slim Reaper's on the other side. He gets his touches. But at the end of the day, A.J. Brown is that dude, and he's considered to be the number one, Mike. I don't know where this goes, but if you talk about derailing a season, this is one of those things that could play out that if you talk about the Eagles being the best team in the league, and they are, how does this go?
They've been down this road before, though. That's the thing. And like, there's the classic diva wide receiver. But you know, when you talk about, you know, the usage rate, it really is. It makes you scratch your head. Doesn't make a lot of sense. And remember, there was a year where they had the big meltdown, moved the coaching staff around, bring some new guys in. Last year, they win the Super Bowl. And they also went to Super Bowl with this soap opera.
They did.
So here they are, but find themselves one of the two undefeated teams going into week 5 at 4-0, and they got another A.J. Brown soap opera.
Brock Purdy's toe still an issue. He is hopeful that he'll be able to go on Thursday night as they take on the Rams. That's 49ers and Rams. Purdy was talking about dealing with this injury.
You know, playing might, you know, lead to some soreness and stuff, so I sort of expected it, but, you know, with the quick turnaround, Thursday night game and everything, it's, you know, it's tougher. I don't have as many days to, you know, get right and heal up and feel better, so. Just where we're at.
All right. I am not necessarily a big fan of Purdy. They're winning without him.
You hate Purdy.
I do. Mac Jones is going to step in if he can't go, but they've won a couple of games without him, so we'll see. That team's still banged up, but Mikey played last week through two interceptions. I think his quarterback rating was like 53. He wasn't great last week.
I guess they were stealing the offensive signals, too, along with the defensive signals on Jacksonville.
Tell me about it. What did Salah tell him? What did he say?
I will blanket end you. Yes. Whoa, 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 whoa. For those who didn't hear the show Monday, Liam Cohn apparently is really good at just stealing signs. Now, there's ways to do it. You know, having people dedicated to trying to see what the other team's doing, watching tape. Patriots apparently went above and beyond back in the day at Spygate. But Robert Saleh apparently had a mean on with him and tried to say, no, I was giving him credit. Well, it sounded like an insult. And then Liam Cohen says, get your name out of my mouth. Here we go, Will Smith 2.0. And that's when Saleh apparently says, yeah, blankety blank, I'll blanket end you. And then some of the players are like, my name is Paul, and that's between y'all.
Robert Saleh did walk back the Jaguars' sign-stealing comments.
Uh-huh.
He says, quote, in my heart, I genuinely was just trying to give him a compliment. I own the fact that I probably used the wrong choice words.
Uh-huh.
So he's walking that back a little bit.
He runs hot.
He does.
I think Aaron Glenn's
in that. How does I will end you come off the wrong way? Like, you say that means a certain thing.
Well, I think he got embarrassed by what Liam did.
I can't make that sound nice.
With everybody on the field, right? But it's not a private moment. It's not like he said, yo, come over here, and they were whispering each other's ears.
Well, so. Robin Williams used it in Good Will Hunting.
Oh, he did. That's true.
Trying to convey a message. I don't make jokes about his late wife.
I will end you.
That's true. Yeah. But different context. Lamar Jackson, not practicing again today, Carl, with the Ravens.
Deal. Mike, look, what's your level of concern with the Ravens? This was a team that many people had going to Super Bowl, and maybe they still do. But you just lost Metabuke. They have injuries right now that are hurting them. And then now you're talking about their quarterback potentially not being a full 100%.
Right.
I don't know, Mike. And the defense looks bad.
Missing your window. I mean, but ain't this the same conversation we've had about Buffalo every other year? But, you know, Kansas City's on the mountaintop. When do the Ravens and the Bills finally knock him off the perch? But the Ravens always cough it up. And Lamar, it wasn't just Mark Andrews. Lamar had some turnovers in that game. But, yeah, this now you say, whoa, now you're not going to be a lost season because they've got enough talent. And you still got the MVP that you can, you know, you can turn it around. But right now, Todd Monken, he doesn't trust Derrick Henry. So all of a sudden, you know, your big run game, You're not even using him in short yardage when he's the ultimate guy for the job.
He's got a fumbling problem. That's right. Why. Hey, man, let me hear Cam Ward. If you missed this, the Titans are terrible, too. They are 0-4. They're not going anywhere. Rumblings now about changes already with the Titans. Their head coach is named Brian Callahan. He took himself out of the play-calling duties. Mike, look, it's hard for me to judge Cam Ward because the organization is where it is.
Right.
I don't know if he's that good. He had like one moment where he threw across his body in week one and everybody went, whoa, yeah. And they scored a touchdown. Everything else since then has been a joke. Here's Cam Ward talking about how bad the Titans are.
I mean, if we're keeping a buck right now, we ass. So we 0-4. We have, this one, we got nothing to lose. We dropped a quarter of our games.
Oh, hey.
We've yet to do anything. So we have to lock in, especially myself on the offensive line. From the defensive line, from the special teams, to all three faces, we have to play together. We have not played together this year yet. And that's just something that, you know, we want to preach about it every day. Every day we got to do better, and we're doing that, but it has to show up on Sundays. It hasn't showed up yet, but it got to show up next week.
Okay.
Carl, what's your record real quick?
What's that, bro?
What's your record real quick?
What, I mean, we're keeping a buck right now. We ass.
Oh, okay, really? That's where we're going?
Well, I mean,
that's
we could.
That's what you're going to do?
Until you turn this around, that could be your intro for the pick segment on Friday. Day-Day?
I mean, we're keeping a buck right now. We ass.
Okay. All right, fine. You guys keep making fun if you want to.
What is he, 3-12?
Mike, it's the record's
not important. 2-13?
Mike, the record's not important.
I mean, we're keeping a buck right now. We ass.
Day-Day, what's the number?
2-15. 2-13.
2-13. Got equal 15.
Right now, we ass.
5 weeks of picks.
I get the point. I get the point. Friday's coming soon enough, and we will get new picks in.
I feel bad about being 7-8, but 2-15.
I mean, we're keeping a buck right now. We ask.
Oren, okay. I get the gist of this.
2-13. I'm sorry.
Mike, do you have to keep repeating the numbers?
Are you already researching your games?
You betcha. You damn right
may
I am.
May I offer you some American Football Conference, whatever that thing is called?
No, I don't want any advice from either one of you.
You may have to go to a game that's only available on ESPN Plus.
Don't call it a comeback when this guy comes roaring back in the standings.
Right, we keeping a book right now. We ask.
All right,
please,
Oren.
Again, there's kids in the car, please.
That was Cam. Not Cam Newton, Cam Ward, talking about how bad the Titans are. Hey, 4th and 1 is brought to you by Priority Men's Medical Centers. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. We're going to talk to the voice of our Atlanta Braves, Brendan Gaughton, to discuss Snit, who is stepping away. 49 seasons with the organization. He's retiring. The announcement came this morning. Snit is 69. We will talk to Brendan Gaughton about this and much more when it comes to our Braves next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I mean, if we're keeping a buck right now, we ass.
Hey. Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey. Hope you're having a great day. It is a somber day for Braves fans today because we are losing one of the best managers this organization has ever had. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We wanted to get more on this, and there's no one better to talk to than our buddy Brendan Gaughton, the voice of our Braves on FanDuel. And Brendan, it's good to have you on. Look, we're happy for Snit because this is something, obviously, he wants to do, stepping away after 49 seasons, not as manager of the Braves, but just, you know, talking about being with this organization and in baseball. And Brendan, I just want to start with the person that Snit is. Before we get into the baseball stuff and the memories, you're around him a lot. Talk about the guy he is and the person and why players love him the way they do.
Yeah, I mean, mixed emotions for sure on this day, because when you step into a role, whether you're a player, whether you're working in the clubhouse, whether you're doing what I'm fortunate to do every day and calling the play-by-play. When you're around this group of people all the time, you hope that the person at the top is, A, able to win, obviously, but, B, you also hope that they're a stand-up good individual. And Brian Snitker was both to the nth degree. And I think that's why when I watched the press conference earlier today and he got choked up, I got choked up. And I've only known him for 3 years. But he is as good of a person as you can come across in this business. And his wife, who has stayed kind of in the private eye, you know, you see her at games and so forth, but she's salt of the earth too. And they're just such good people. And so I'm happy for him that he gets to kind of enter into this next phase. And I know a lot of people felt like it was time. There was certainly part of me that was hoping he would get that one final year with everybody back and healthy and a chance to run at another World Series title. But I understand they're at a stage of life where they want to see their grandkids more. They want to have more time with family, and I certainly respect that. But as far as the person that Brian Snitker is, I'm just saying what you see on camera, what you see in interviews, that guy that you saw today getting teary-eyed while talking about this organization and his wife and his family, that's who he is. He's just a classy, classy individual. And the Braves are incredibly lucky to not only have called him a manager, but also obviously all the roles that he's played in this organization throughout 49 years. For them to get him for 49, and it's going to be more in this advisor role, but for him to be a lifelong Brave, that's a very special thing for both parties.
And I know, Brandon, you've been a lifelong Braves fan. We were talking about it before you got to call the games. The 21 postseason was, I mean, for lack of a better word, sublime. I can't imagine a manager hitting all the right buttons better than Snitker did that year.
Yeah, and look, you're right. I was tracking that as a fan, as close as everybody else was. It's just so interesting in sports. I was thinking about this today after watching his announcement. You go back to the 21 season, and the Braves could have very easily not even made the playoffs that year. And they go on and win it. And then you look at 2024, and the Braves are the best team in baseball. Historic offense, numbers across the board, off the charts. But they get in the postseason, and they can't win it. And I think most people would tell you that, hey, at the end of the day, World Series titles, or if you're in the NFL, hoisting that Lombardi trophy, NBA winning it all, that's ultimately what the fans want, right? And I get that. But it also is interesting how we place so much emphasis on just that postseason success and not the body of work. And I say that because, and I know you guys aren't disagreeing with this, but 9 full seasons, 6 division titles, 7 playoff trips, the World Series. I think Brian Snitker would tell you that's the Braves standard to do those things, but it's not easy. And he did it. And he did it with a lot of different players and some turmoil and a lot of injuries throughout those years. And so I think, yes, some people may have said, oh, man, we should have won that World Series in 24, et cetera, et cetera. But let me tell you, there's a lot of other fan bases that would look at Brian Snitker's body of work and say, we would take that 7 days a week and twice on Sunday.
I agree with you. Brandon Gauden, our guest, guys, voice of our Atlanta Braves on FanDuel. And, Brandon, the other part about this is the stuff we don't see, like we see his demeanor and how he handles guys, you know, on the field. But I've talked to enough guys behind the scenes that say, man, you know, he takes time out. He cares. And I think that goes a long way. You can have talented players, but they have to want to play for you, right? They have to want to go out and give you their best. And I think that's another thing that maybe kind of is unspoken about Snit as his you know, how he creates these relationships, and then guys feel like he cares about them. It's beyond just an at-bat, right?
It is, and I think there's no better maybe example of the impact that Brian Snitker has had on those players than what Chris Sale said after the final day of the season when he was asked about Brian Snitker's future. And I think it was Mark Bowman who said, you hope to have Snit back, and you just kind of said, are you kidding me? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want him back, not only because he's a great manager, but he's got that clubhouse. He's our leader. Everybody in there loves him. And Chris Sale's a guy, obviously, who has had just unparalleled success as far as, yeah, he's had some injuries, and I get that. But what he has been able to do and sustain at a high level, you just don't see many pitchers in today's game that can do that for as long as he's done it and win the Cy Young last year. But he's also, Chris Sale, a leader in that clubhouse. So for him to come out so matter-of-factly, and it was just honest and brutal and just like, yes, of course I want Brian Snitker back if he wants to be here. To me, that said it all. That just kind of – he spoke for the clubhouse in that moment. Those guys understand where Snit is and are happy for him, but they were also hoping to have him back for another year. And I'll give you one little anecdote. You know, my first game in this role 3 years ago was in Washington. The Braves won 7-2 over the Nationals. And I had just briefly met Snit at spring training, getting to know each other, starting to build a relationship. He called me down to the clubhouse after that game and presented me with a lineup card.
Wow.
And it may not seem like much, but those are the moments that nobody sees. Mm. And those are the moments that he kind of was able to create for different people in the organization. And he didn't want any spotlight on it just because he cares about people and he's a people person. And that's a moment that to me is also a shining example of who Brian Snitker really is.
Old school guy, quality guy, a lifer with the organization. We're talking with Brandon Gaudin, guys, from FanDuel Sports. B, you got any insight or any feeling, your gut, about where they're going to go to replace the man? Because, you know, Walt Weiss has been the bench coach traditionally. The bench coach, if you're next to the man, you become the man. You think they go outside the family? You got any feel for this?
Yeah, I think certainly Walt is going to be in the discussion, and I love Walt. He's tremendous. I think it's going to be a question of, do they want to go outside for a quote-unquote fresh start? That's probably the discussion they're having right now. If they do go outside, you know, the names that we are all kind of hearing are David Ross, obviously history with the Braves here for 4 years, let go by the Cubs, but someone that is well-respected, that is seen that can be a successful manager at the big league level. We're hearing the name Skip Schumacher. I would be surprised if he's not the next manager of the Texas Rangers, with Bruce Bochy no longer in that role. And Skip Schumacher, for those who don't know, he was an advisor for the Rangers. But I'm sure a phone call will be placed in these situations. That's usually how it happens. They'll at least test the waters on both sides. You know, maybe a name that people haven't thought of, and I don't know where he stands in the Cleveland market. I know that they probably like him right now, but Stephen Vogt. Huh. Stephen Vogt is right now in the playoffs with Cleveland, so you can't make that phone call, but he has only been there 2 years. He turns 41 next month, so he's young, he's energetic, he has an incredible reputation. And look, that may not even happen, as far as a phone call might not even take place, but it's an interesting name, and he does have a connection to Atlanta from a brief time here. So that's kind of an off-the-radar name I thought of. I don't know if that'll come up in discussion. I don't have any insider information on that. But David Ross, certainly Walt, Skip Schumacher, those are all names I think that you're going to hear quite frequently here in the next couple of days, or however long it takes until they nail down this process.
Vogt was very well liked when he was here. I like that. I really do. And again, don't know if that's something they'll investigate or look at. Brandon, what about this team? While we're talking about Snit stepping away, I said to Mike, whoever it is, whomever they get to bring in and take on this job, they're inheriting a really good team, right? I mean, it's not like this is a rebuild. So when you look at the team and the ups and downs from this season, you go, all right, if everything is turned around like we think it will be next season, and, you know, health plays a role in that, this team could be right back in the hunt, regardless of who they ultimately put at the, you know, at the helm of being the manager.
And that's why this opening is so unique. Well, you guys see it like I do. We're biased. So it's a big fan base. It's a successful organization, but it's also right now an incredible roster when healthy. So, you know, if you go and you manage the Texas Rangers, even though they just won a World Series, their roster, and I don't mean any disrespect to them, but their roster is not in near as good a shape as the Atlanta Braves. Some of these other jobs that are opening across baseball, they're not necessarily all rebuilds, but if you look at them piece by piece, there's no question that the Braves job is the most appetizing opening for number of reasons. So that's what makes it interesting, because everybody is going to at least take a phone call if Alex Anthopoulos or Terry McGuirk picks up that phone, because it is the Braves and they know how good that roster is. Now we'll see how next year plays out, but I would be shocked if we are not going into spring training and looking at the Vegas odds with the Braves being top three or four as far as projected to potentially win the World Series, because that is how good this roster is when it is healthy. And I think with some of the progress we saw from some of the younger guys this year that surprised us a little bit, guys like Hurston Waldrop, I think that it makes the roster maybe even better going into next season than we originally thought. And I still think the Braves will make a move or two. I think they'll get a reliever. I think they'll get a starter for depth. I think in the field, if you get Ha-Seong Kim back, your lineup is pretty stable. But I think they're going to add a couple of pieces – because I know fans were frustrated they didn't do that last offseason. And with all of that in place, there's no question. This is a World Series contender.
Right. I know, Brandon, we've talked about this before, but I hope the team invests in that starting pitching because, you know, you're so excited about Waldrop and getting Sale back because, again, that was an anomaly. That was a crazy injury. That's not something about, you know, an arm issue. What are your feelings about Spencer Strider? I mean, do you feel he's going to get back on track, or is this as good as it gets, or is it still a work in progress?
No, I think it'll get better. The question will be how much improvement does the fastball have? So is it always going to be 95, 96 for the rest of his career? What's different about the procedure that he had, and you guys have talked about this, so Tommy John and the internal brace procedure that Strider had, they're different. Internal brace procedure, you come back quicker, but there is less evidence and there's less examples of people having that, so you don't exactly know long-term how much fastball life he is going to get back. But I will say I was really encouraged in how he was mixing in the curveball and the slider there toward the end of the season. So I think definitely worst case scenario, he can be one of your five starters, even if he's not one of your top two or even three. He can be a very, very serviceable fourth or fifth starter with a 95, 96 mile per hour fastball and a curveball and a slider that is mixed in very well. And I think, I do think the fastball will start to come back. So I think you'll see a little more velocity next year. Give him an offseason in the lab to kind of rework his pitches. And my guess is that he'll be, I'm not going to say what he was in 23, but you give that guy time. He's as competitive as anybody. And I still think there is a very, very good career ahead for number 99.
Brandon, job well done this year. No, it's not easy when the season is sometimes a struggle, and for what you do and what everybody did in the booth, knowing all those folks over there, it's tough, and you guys did a terrific job getting us through it. And thanks for coming on today, man, on a day where a lot of Braves fans are like, huh, where are we going? But Snit was incredible. Thank you again.
Yeah, appreciate it, guys. Thanks so much for having me.
Cool. Brendan Gaudin, guys, FanDuel. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Coming up, we'll find out what's on Day-Day's mind. And also, he says it's done. It's over.
It's over?
It won't happen again.
Never again?
Ever again. 4 o'clock.
Is this me with a meeting in management?
4 o'clock. Let's hope. 4 o'clock. We're going to tell you who said it's over. It's done. It's not happening again. But coming up next, what's on Day-Day's mind on Dukes and Bell.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks to Brandon Gaudin for stopping by. B's always insightful. He dropped a couple of names there just off the top of his dome saying, hey, maybe these are some guys that the Braves potentially think about. It's going to be a story here until they decide which way they want to go, and maybe that happens fairly quickly.
Right.
Or maybe, Mike, this turns into, hey, when we get past the World Series, which wouldn't be until a month or so from now.
Right.
Maybe the decision is made then.
Maybe it's already. You're right. They could be sitting on it. It's like with the Falcons. I really wanted Harbaugh because he was so far removed from anything we've ever done before.
True.
And nothing against. I mean, again, the season story is still yet to be told. But you know, if you bring, you know, Coach Ryan, there were elements of what we had with Dan Quinn that will be back. So I wanted Harbaugh. That's why I would love to see something fresh, completely outside of the family, for lack of a better word. Not sure you're going to get that.
Sports Talk on the Game is presented by Paramount Plus. You can count on much. You can't, that is, but you can count on always Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus, guys. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. The Snit thing is front and center. If you're just tuning in and joining us for the first time today, Brian Snicker this morning, deciding to walk away. Big O, can you play this real quick before we get to Day-Day? The Brian Snickers says up to about 3 weeks ago, he was not planning on coming back. Here is Snicker this morning.
Until, and this is the truth, until like the last 3 weeks of this season, I know you can ask the coaches, I talked about, you know, this being my last year. You know, but when you're, I think when you're sitting in this seat, you're in the heat of the battle, I don't know, you know, it, and I said after, I'm going to need a little time after that last out to really decide what I want to do. And and it was after I got home and I got to decompress a little bit that, you know what, I did decide that this is the right move. Because I said, if you wait to retire till you're ready to retire, you never will.
So true.
Yeah, and it's kind of, like I said, you would have loved to have seen him go out with a playoff appearance. You know, it's kind of like, you know, the Tom Brady thing. If Tom Brady quits after the Bucs season and they lost to the Rams in a great comeback that fell short, okay, legacy. You know, then you, and not that it tainted, but it still was like that last year was just so bizarro. You'd hate to see him deal with more injuries, especially if they don't really prime the pump and put money into this team. But this year, I mean, my God, he was decimated with injuries. Last year, just making the playoffs. That's why I thought he should have won the NL Skipper of the Year over the Brewers manager, was it Murphy? Because I thought, you know, doing everything he did just to make the wild card with the injuries was worthy of it.
I agree, Mike. More on this to come, guys, as we explore. And this is an interesting time now for the Braves. You know, you got some moves you've got to make, but also this filling this role, you got to get this right, too. I mean, we just can't assume, oh, well, the team is really good when healthy and anybody can come in here and manage them. I don't know right. if that's true. You got to get this right, too. Day-Day, what's going on, man? What's on your mind today?
Well, speaking of Brian Snicker, again, like you said, very emotional day for some Braves fans out there in Braves country as he announces his stepping down as manager. Where would you rank him in terms of all-time managers in MLB?
All MLB, not just the organization?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Well, look, he is Brandon just talked about the winning, right? 9 seasons. You talk about the division crowns and then obviously the World Series. But I also think, Mike, when you start talking about the all-timers, it's multiple World Series appearances. Mm. And do we think we should have gotten another one with Snit? Probably.
2023 is the season that hurts the most.
It does.
I was just debating Day-Day and Carl with the guy, you know, saying about, what about 23? 23, you had 2.5 pitchers going into that Philly series. You were stuck going with Bryce Elder in the worst-case scenario because Strider had that oblique thing, whatever it was. So he wasn't 100%.
But remember, you know? Too, we were the best-hitting team that season.
Right.
And we didn't do a damn thing in the postseason.
But you really needed your pitcher. And again, it's too much ask the pitchers to hold that Phillies lineup to 2 or 3 runs a game. But Fried was banged up. We had everything just fell apart with the pitching staff in time for the NLDS.
Yeah, that was the other year we should have. We were probably the best. We were the best team through the regular season and should have won another one. But if you're going to say of all time, I don't know if he's top 10 because you're talking about guys that made multiple runs. Yeah. To the World Series, even if they didn't win it. You've got multiple managers who made, you know, 4 or 5 World Series appearances potentially. Right. That's, to me, that's the differentiating factor.
Well, you got 50
factor.
Hall of Fame managers.
Right. But that's the factor for me when you start talking about best of all time. And it's not if you want them. Getting to the World Series is hard. 162 plus this playoff. And again, we're watching this wild card round right now. Mm-hmm. These teams are on the brink. You've played all season. You lose yesterday. Now you got one day to save your season. Like, it's extremely hard to just get there. So that's how I would rate him. But yeah. I don't know where Mike is, but I don't think he's top 10 when you talk about that. But as far as the Braves, Mike, you said maybe he's better than Bobby Cox.
No, I mean, you still got guys like Jim Leland who had one, you know, and there's guys like Dick Williams from the old A's and everything. And I'm looking at the all-time win list.
Those guys. No, I'm just kidding.
I mean, but all these guys are in the Hall of Fame, okay? Yeah, you got a lot of guys.
Yeah,
I mean, he's not as good as Bruce Bochy. That's why I would be interested in Bochy, but he's also up there now in age.
Yeah. All right, moving on. Looks like we don't have to worry about the NBA not being on YouTube TV for all those NBA fans getting ready for the season to kick off. Well, preseason next week anyway. But YouTube and NBC Universal announced a short-term deal.
What's that mean?
So as of now, they've come to some type of agreement that will allow all their content on NBC Universal to remain on YouTube TV. Ironically, the deal came through literally like moments after they sent out, YouTube sent out an email saying that they were going to no longer be able to, because they couldn't come to terms.
They didn't want that smoke.
So literally, like, right after the, because I'm still up when this happened. Did I get the email on myself? I got it at about 11:45, and then I wake up this morning to the news that they did come to terms.
Well, that's good. Look, yeah. It's gonna be a little bit of an adventure for me, to figure out where all the games are.
I know,
right?
Okay, because it's not all on NBC. What it's Paramount Plus? No, it's what's NBC's
Peacock,
right? So some are there, some are on Amazon Prime.
Yep.
It's gonna be a little bit.
By the way, have they figured out what they're gonna do with the inside of the NBA guys yet? Or are they just still kind of floating around in like
limbo?
They're going to be on, and they're saying.
Yeah.
Mike said this too. They're saying they're not gonna change anything. Like what the viewing experience of what you saw in the NBA.
I don't want Stephen A. Smith within a mile of that.
Charles and Shaq and those guys. They're saying it's not.
I want to see them more than I want to see the ESPN guys. And I don't know if that's going to happen, though, with those
guys.
No,
I mean, we've said it before. It just, and when TNT, you know, announced that it was, you know, ending at least at TNT, the natural chemistry, the ease, the creativeness, or creativity, I should say, the way the producers, Carl, get right with stuff on social media. And ESPN has just got their head so far up their own butt. It's just tight. It's just, they don't have any of that looseness or coolness.
Yeah, you'd almost have to take that entire product, not just Ernie and Chuck and all them, you'd have to take everyone behind the scenes and take them over there and say, okay, just do what you've been doing.
Well, they're going to still.
And hopefully that is the case, right?
Yeah, they're still going to do it from here.
Yeah.
For those who don't know, it's just going to be on ESPN.
Don't meddle, ESPN.
And it's going to look, the logos will look different.
Yeah.
I just feel like I want to believe in it. Well, look, I'll say this. Chuck's not changing for anybody.
No, he's not.
Shaq's not changing. These guys, I'm telling you.
And they don't have to.
We've had this conversation like, yo, we're doing the same show. If it doesn't work there, it won't be because of us.
Right.
It's going to be because some of, like Mike just said, meddling. Mm-hmm. And you're trying to change and tweak things. So I think we're visually, Day-Day, I think we're going to get the similar experience with those guys.
Good deal. All right, let's go get into some college football here. First up, listen, this past weekend proved why it still means more in the SEC. Georgia-Alabama viewership averaged 10.4 million viewers on ABC, making it the most watched game of the weekend. It did take a little bit of a dip from last year's matchup between the two, which was about 11.99. But
that's because you had Penn State and Oregon.
Yeah.
But that game was really tough to watch. Everybody, the casual fan, Carl, wants that offense. There was none of that in the first three quarters.
So the network also won the mid-afternoon and noon windows. So the mid-afternoon was LSU Ole Miss. That averaged 6.7, which was up 33% from Oklahoma Auburn last year. And then it wasn't an all-SEC slate, but Notre Dame versus Arkansas, that averaged 4.3 in the noon window.
That
which
was a beat
up, which was up 8% from last year's Kentucky Ole Miss. So it just continues to prove that the SEC, it means more in the SEC. Speaking of that.
It just means more.
Piggybacking off of our conversation with Connor Riley yesterday. This morning, working out, riding the exercise bike, I turned on SEC Network, and they were doing like these.
You all cut up.
No, I'm not.
You shredded like a Julianne Sally. Let me, you do lays every day, leg day.
Here's the deal.
I see you.
Here's the deal. I work out because.
Why are you flexing in there?
When you don't make a lot of money and you have a very fine wife.
Is this directed at management?
Something's got to, you got to have something, right? All right? So. Since the money ain't there, I got to look good.
The one thing you can't control is the physique. Yeah.
I got to look
good. Wait a minute. Are you saying if you don't, she's leaving you?
She's out of here.
You know how Rambo 1 and David Little Puppy and Rambo 2, you got all shredded up?
Shredded.
That's kind of how you look right now.
I got to be. I got to have something going for
myself.
Not Rambo
1, but 2. Yeah. When you just cut up.
Well, I'm not that. I mean, I'm just
you shredded like a
Julian Savage. You more shredded than a Julian Savage, man.
Again, right. If you don't like Tropic Thunder, we can't be friends.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, by the way, you do legs every day?
No, abs? Not really. I do abs. I get abs in.
Yeah, I don't do much
what's
abs.
That? A few crunches? What are we talking about?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I do some crunches on my weight bench, or if I'll go to the fitness center and they've got the crunch machine.
Okay, so you keep that tight for her, huh?
I try, man. Listen,
yeah.
The wallet ain't
just like
enough.
Usher. He's got that little six pack, that 12 pack.
I love it. Look, he's like, look, my wife is fine, and she will leave me if I don't stay in shape.
Right.
You ever date a woman that likes you fat and undesirable so other women will not approach you?
Oh, yeah, that's all the time.
I dated a girl that was like that once.
Really?
Yeah.
She didn't want you to look good?
She didn't want. I swear, I think it was a conspiracy. She's like, no, I'm like, baby, we got to be healthy. Like, no, let's get some Popeyes. She's it's the country girl from down south. She liked me fat and undesirable. There wasn't nobody checking me out.
All right, I only got a couple minutes. So hear me out. Piggybacking off our conversation with Connor Riley yesterday, I'm watching the SEC Network, and they're playing like kind of they're playing recaps of the games. It's kind of really short, like 10, 15-minute highlights only of all the SEC games that were on this past weekend. Guys, I really think Alabama wins the SEC, and I know there's a lot of football left. But when I'm watching the Alabama-Georgia replay, the way they executed offensively in particular, I just really thought like, everything just flowed. Everything seemed seamless. Ty Simpson seemed like he was really in control of the situation. And as I'm watching some of the other ones, Tennessee, I know they were early favorite, but what I noticed with them against Miss State, they seem like the tougher the competition goes as this season rolls, they're not going to be able to be as high powered as they were to start the season.
Yeah.
And they're going to be, you know, the more battle tested they are, I think things slow down for them. Georgia, we just, you know, they're in the mix, but I just can't put my finger on what it is about Georgia. Watching Alabama, they just look like they had all the pieces necessary to really pull off this SEC championship. So I just want to see what you guys thought. I don't know how much of some of the other teams you've really had a chance to pay attention to.
All of them.
But watching that this morning, I really think it's going to be Alabama's to lose at this point.
I mean, you know, it's funny. They go from like dead on arrival at Florida State to now everybody's favorite. It's a long way to go. And this Vandy game is going to be something. I mean, this Vandy, do you feel this goes four quarters, by the way, the Vandy game?
I do.
Because, like, Tennessee, like, they had a fight at Miss State. Luckily, they had about 25,000 of their fans there. But Tennessee doesn't pass that championship eye test for me just necessarily. Same. But Ole Miss, if Ole Miss, you know, beating Georgia last year, I don't think people understand how big that was. You know, for if we're honest, you know, for a guy, Lane Kiffin, whose rep was, he couldn't win the big one. So I'm looking for, see what that's about in a couple of weeks when they tangle.
Yeah, I'm with you on this.
Texas, of course.
I want to see if Ryan Grubb can do this every week, though. Mm-hmm. They got out of the funk that they were in, whatever that was, week one, because they couldn't do a whole lot. And remember, Mike was there. They go down and drive. The first drive was great. Right. They go down
like
and score.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, this is going to be, you know, prototypical Alabama. And then things fell apart. But I do agree with you offensively. They look dynamic. Mm-hmm. That's the word that you're looking for with Georgia. Georgia's not dynamic offensively.
Right.
Alabama, in their wins, have looked dynamic. Big explosive plays, quarterback seeing the field. Like, you go, okay, they can score with anybody. But I want to see if they can do it week to week. And Mike's right. This week is a big deal with that game. Do not count out Vandy. They are a team that totally buys in and believes in themselves. And they already did this. They don't give a damn about going to Tuscaloosa now.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, everybody used to be afraid. We're not afraid. Their quarterback, he is the quintessential ego that you need going down there. So I'm just telling you, and that's not to say Bama won't win. They're a 10-point favorite, but this ain't going to be like the old days where they blow Vandy out by 35.
Yeah. And don't forget, Oklahoma's without Mateer, quarterback. Texas A&M looks, I mean, they're 4-0. That Notre Dame win was huge, but their offense kind of looks still plotting. At times, right? Yeah. When you look at the Aggies, and then of course there's Texas. You know, that's the thing. As Carl just touched on. I don't trust. I just don't trust Sarkisian.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's what's on my mind on a hump day, guys.
Good stuff. I'll tell you what's on his mind. He says it's over. It's not happening anymore. It's done. We're gonna talk some dogs next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.